I must stop and take the time to look around me. I see the signs of his appearing everywhere. Pass an hour before I, and I feel a strange excitement in the air. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returned.
So glad I'm yours, Lord.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and said,
a wonderful thing to know that you can stand here knowing that he's redeemed you. Not just something out there, but something that's taken place in your heart. And you know that you belong to him. And you know, it's just the song before, how it sings like that he's coming for me. He's coming for me. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 58, As I Walk the Road of Life.
As I walk the road of life, my feet grow weary. As I spurn them through the foam and shifting sand, but I never have a fear about tomorrow, I'll be led by the Master's hand. As I walk the road of life, my feet grow weary. As I spurn them through the foam and shifting sand, but I never have a fear about tomorrow, for I'm led by the Master's hand. Through the storm, with his hand holding mine, hope is never gone. When I climb the last mile to heaven's land, I'll be led by the Master's hand.
Let's sing number 71, and we've got a couple of items. And this morning we've got one from Sister Mill as well, so I'll ask that one from Sister Pauline.
There's a river of life flowing out, makes a lake to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the
give you mighty strength at this time.
Time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon this newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is. Just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon this newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of his great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll stay by his side, contented I'll be for all of my life. It's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon this newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Depend upon him, can't we? Praise the Lord. Oh, Sister Pauline, if you would bring your item, and then Brother Tatu has one as well.
Peace, divine is comfort here by. you, Sister Pauline. But the tattoo's just going to bring this item now as well. And then I'll ask if Brother Lee wouldn't mind bringing the prayer requests.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him on his stars of light. You praise him, heaven of heavens. You waters that be above the hill. Let them praise the name of the Lord. We commanded they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord for the earth, you dragon. And all deeps, fine hail and snow, vapor, stormy wind fulfilling squares, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cellars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things flying pale, kings of the earth and all people princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, all men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of the saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. His praise and confidence in the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in the king. Let them praise his name to God. Let them sing praise unto him with timbre and harp. When the Lord takes place in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, to his sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters line, to execute upon them the judgment with them, dishonor have all his sins. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmness of power. Praise him with mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with psaltery harp. Praise him with the timbre and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon high sound. Let us in the hands of praise, praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Joy.
Thank you, Brother Lee, if you would mind bringing those prayer requests.
Lord bless you, folks. What a privilege we have to be able to talk to our Lord. You know, just sitting there and thinking, where would we turn to if the Lord wasn't there? If there wasn't a Lord, where would we go for help? But it doesn't matter when we come to him, what condition we're in, whether we're on high, down low, got a problem, can't think, sick, whatever, the Lord still welcomes you. And it's real, absolutely real. Another thing I thought of, I believe, and I'll try to do it myself, that we shouldn't pray unless we're talking to the Lord himself, as if he was right there with you, where you could see, like talking person to person. You know why? Because he is there. He is there. So that's how we talk to him. We don't have a list per se, but I just thought of a few things. I just think of Brother Moses there in India. The needs that they have over there are just so immense to comparison to where we are privileged to live here in New Zealand. But we do think of Brother Moses and his group and all of those that he's trying to reach. This morning I got a phone call about 7:15, give or take, and it was Brother Andrew, our Brother Andrew. He was working, delivering bread in Paratai at the time, and he said, I'd like for you to pray for myself, for Sister Wai, his wife, and for Missy, his daughter, and for Caleb. They've had severe colds, and it's just gone one to the other, and the whole lot of them have it now. So I said that we would. I also told them we've been praying for him for a month. The family, that's answered prayer too. Now the thing is that we pray for my brother and Howard's brother, Russell, there in Adelaide, Australia. He's lost his wife, Sue, who died after 57 years of marriage. And just remember him and the family over there. And may the Lord just bless them all, bring them to the understanding of, if the children don't already know it, I'm not sure of the situation, that the Lord is the Saviour and the giver of life and eternal life, that is. I know that Russell and Sue acknowledged the Lord. I'd like to just remember the people on the internet that listen in on this service, wherever they are, whatever the need, for you folks that are listening, and just remember that God knows exactly where you are, exactly what you have on your heart. Talk to him. Claim the benefits that the Lord's offering to you as you listen. And most of all, thank the Lord for the answered prayers that we've already spoken to him about. Shall we pray? Precious Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, the one and only God, we love you, Jesus. I came in this morning, Lord, and I just was so thrilled just to feel your presence. Lord Jesus, it was absolutely so lovely to feel your presence. And you can be everywhere at the same time, not just in this auditorium, but overseas, wherever the people are, the Lord is right there. And if people overseas or here are feeling the presence of God, that's God calling you personally. Not a group, although he is reaching everybody. If you feel that presence of the Lord, it's for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you think about us and we love you. I was thinking this morning, Lord, are you coming today? Is it today that you're coming? And in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be in your presence. Lord Jesus, what we've got to look for. We thank you for the benefits that you've given every one of us. Lord, help those that are sick. Heal them, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give the confidence to people to make that decision that haven't done it yet, that yes, I will give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll follow and work and live for him and for other people at whom the Lord loves. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to worship you. Just bless everybody that wants to be blessed. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Let's just sing one more, number 104. Is everybody happy?
Is everybody happy? Is everybody glad? I don't want to see you looking weary. I just wanna see you looking sad. I just wanna see you keep on smiling. For Jesus is at the door. So keep on shouting, hallelujah. Do we need a little bit more? Is everybody happy? Is everybody glad? I don't. I just want to see you keep on smiling, for Jesus is at the door. So keep on shouting hallelujah. Let's sing one more time. Is everybody happy? Is everybody glad? I don't want to see you looking weary. I just want to see you keep on smiling, for Jesus is at the door. So keep on shouting hallelujah, till we meet on the golden shore.
Praise the Lord. Who's loving the Lord?
Amen.
We're on a live broadcast this morning. God bless you, Brother Bill, Sister Jan. We'd love to have you here, but if you're listening in, it's really good to have you at the service. And I just thank the Lord for all that he's doing for us. Who feels the presence of the Lord? As Brother Lee was just saying, it's just really wonderful. You know, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You've got to be gentle to the Holy Spirit. Don't say, oh, what's that little funny little feeling? It's more than just a funny little feeling. It's something real. It's God himself and speaking to our hearts. So we just praise him for his love, mercy, and grace to us. And being with us just this week, my wife and family, and Tom and Grace, who are with us from Adelaide, we went away to the Bay of Plenty just for 2 days. It was good, a good time. And we appreciated stopping over and seeing Sister Thompson, Joyce Thompson. She was thrilled to see us, brother. She's about crushed me. She was so happy to see us. And then Tom and Grace and June went in the next car. They came up a couple of hours later. And she was just overjoyed to see them too. So she's planning to come here and have service with us, especially on communion. So just there's not really any fellowship there so much. So she would like to have fellowship with us. So we just pray for her. Just pray for her too. She's got a problem with the knee. God will give her a complete setting free. And they said to her, how did you do that, Sister Joyce? She said, when I was out fishing. She's an amazing lady. She's in her 80s. And she just finished wallpapering her hallway. And she's just all up and go, you know. So if I feel like that at 80, I'll be all right. So praise the Lord. Just remember Sister Joyce. She may be listening now. She's going to try and listen to the services live. So we just thank the Lord for our dear sister. She's had a wonderful testimony of God's grace and supernatural in her life. Praise be to God. So we're just so glad to be here, and we just pray the Lord will speak to us and all of you people joining us wherever you are in New Zealand or overseas. God bless you. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew chapter 17. And we're beginning with verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun." You know how bright the sun is? That's how bright Jesus' face was. This wonderful encounter. "And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Get that straight. "Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Who just wants to see Jesus? We just want to see him. Hallelujah. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of having these writings written in the Word of God for us to commune with and be blessed by, and for you to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, this morning that your Holy Spirit, which is here now, will go into every life, those listening outside as well, Lord, wherever they be, that you'll speak to them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and bless us all, and bless the whole body of Christ. As Brother Lee said, he's coming soon. We just want to be ready to go, Lord. I pray you'll move upon every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's good to be here, isn't it? You know, they said, it was good when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And, you know, I think it's something special. This is the best place on Sunday morning. Who believes that? This is the best place, not just this church, but gathering where the saints are gathered together is the best place to be. And so I just want to speak about this subject because the Lord's quickened it to me and I just feel I ought to speak about it. And I've just entitled it, "They Saw No Man Save Jesus Only." They saw no man save Jesus only. And I believe with all my heart, excuse me, that a true experience with God will leave us with not you and your great signs, and that's okay. When we have an experience with God, we should see Jesus only. Who believes that? Not something else or somebody else. Or when you have an experience with God, you'll see Jesus only. I believe that. So everything God does in our life in the end is to reveal only himself to us. Your best friend this morning, your closest colleague, your everything, there's no one in this church. It's Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we get a hold of this, we'll stop looking elsewhere. People, what about over here? Shall we go over this way? This is better. Maybe that's better. Maybe this preacher's better than this one. Forget it. There's only one you should be looking for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just want, they saw Jesus only. Now, any experience that brings a man into the forefront is questionable. I tell you, I'm not critical of anybody. I'm not going to name anybody. I don't even think of anybody right now. But sometimes when people have meetings and they have big crowds and Unfortunately, some of it is just all about themselves and their great ministry and what they're able to do. But I just want to see Jesus. I want to see the Christ. Hallelujah. So may the Lord speak to us through this thought this morning. And everything God does in our life in the end is to reveal only himself to us. I just want to see him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Does anyone love the Lord this morning? Say amen. Amen. Oh, just checking. Please don't leave me. I don't like when people sort of get a bit sleepy looking. No, I know sometimes when we get a bit tired and that, we should be tired. We've been traveling a bit. But, you know, the Lord is everything to me. Is he everything to you?
Amen.
If he's not, he can be. So we just want to look to him this morning. And so we see, we don't want to see man in the forefront. It doesn't matter how great the ministry is. It may be a true ministry. It may even be a prophet. It's still got to be Christ in the front. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Must have the preeminence in all things. Well-meaning people often want to cling to man's flesh. You know, they want to say, oh, this is great. This is the guy we've been looking for. No, it's not. That's not the guy you've been looking for. There's only one to look for, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, God uses men, of course he does. But don't look to the flesh of men. Even we can cling to our established church, our denomination. People say, are you a Christian? I'm an Anglican. Well, that wasn't the question. The question was, are you a Christian?
Amen.
Well, I go to the Gisborne Christian Fellowship. That's not the question. Do you know the Lord? Who knows the Lord?
Amen.
He's the one we're talking about. So we want to see Jesus only. And we just, you know, when man comes into it, doesn't matter what it is, God will not have a bar of it. God does not want man injected into us, like into our services in a sense of the preacher's coming now or the singer. Or and God uses the singer and he uses the preacher and those things, but that's not the focus. The focus is to see Christ and him only.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And many in this day have slipped into this trap. They get blessed by a church. They get blessed by a preacher. And they just feel, oh, I just belong to that place. No, don't belong to the church. You belong to Christ.
Amen.
It's him. It's him that's coming for you. Not the church. Not the preacher. It's Christ that is coming for you. No matter how anointed he may be. How gifted he is. Or how called he is, or how a vindicated servant of Christ he is, Christ must have preeminence in our thinking and our worship. You know, I loved this testimony, you know, when they had the great revival during Azusa Street and the great meetings and the great power of God and the Shekinah glory that was seen, actually seen, and arms were put on people's bodies and things, just outstanding miracles, and they saw all the wonderful works of God, and they were sharing this, and the question was asked from the audience, oh, who was the preacher? They said, preacher? We don't know who it was, but we saw Christ. We saw Christ in our midst, confirming him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's just keep men out of it, you know. It's a wonderful thing if we can do that. I think God will bless it, and I think it'll please the Lord. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, that's Christ, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why is he the firstborn? Because it's a new creation. And he was the firstborn of the new creation. And when we're born again, we come into a new creation. This is wonderful, brother and sister. This life we have, all very sweet and lovely, but it's very temporal. We found that out the other day. My sister Shirley was here in a box. We're not here forever. So we're going to get into the new creation, the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's provided for us. And it goes on to say, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, that in all things he might be have the preeminence. There it is. That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. Hallelujah. I want to read you from the Amplified Bible. It's quite good how it puts it. Excuse me. Oh, dear me. You're going to have to put something in there, sister. Okay. Colossians 1:18 from the Amplified Bible says, he, that is Christ, also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone is everything. Is everything. And in every respect might occupy the chief place. Isn't that wonderful? Stand first and be preeminent. So it's all about God. If a church starts going this way or that way, chasing after this man or this pastor or something, and there's some good people around. I'm not saying they're not good pastors and gifted people and all that. But the people talk about the pastor all the time or the ministry or the church. Where's Christ? He's left out in the cold, the one that died for you and gave his life for your life, eternal life. And he's sitting outside in the cold. Nobody's talking about him. They're talking about everybody else but the Lord. How careful we need to be. So the Lord wants to have that preeminence. We've just read it. The Lord needs to take us aside. That's what he needs to do. Take us aside. God has to separate us from worldly influences. Now, this is very real. You will not escape. God does not show himself to everybody. So it's a great and mighty privilege that God visits you. You know, somebody says, oh, God visited me. Praise God. It really helped me. I met the Lord. I saw an angel. That's wonderful. But that's not me. I want to see him. Who wants to see him this morning? We want to see Christ before us, not the church, not the preacher. Those things are wonderful and they do happen. But I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Hallelujah. So we see it's a great privilege that he'll visit us. And so may God grant that to each and every one of us here. He doesn't show himself to everybody. He just doesn't. So I'm just waiting for him to come past my way again. I'm going to be like Jacob getting the angel. I'm going to grab him and I'm not going to let him go. The angel says, let me go. He said, not until you bless me. Who wants to be blessed? Amen. You've got to hold on to God. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. You can't say, oh, not be a casual inquirer. Oh, the Lord? Oh, yes. I want him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. So who wants God to visit you? Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Then we need to draw aside with the Lord alone. You know, speaking of Moses, I love this. In Exodus 3, verse 2, we read, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now listen to this. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You notice that God saw Moses that turned aside. You know, brothers and sisters, there's got to be an interest, not in the church. I'm not being against the church because we've got to have a church. That's fine. But we want to turn aside to see the Lord. Who understands what I'm saying? We don't come to church to look at the pews. We don't come to church to see who can sing best. They're all lovely, but we turn aside to see the Lord. I want to see him this morning.
Amen.
I want to see him this morning. You see, Moses had separated himself from the columned halls of Egypt. He was a big man. Moses was big. He was Pharaoh's right-hand man. And he had great power and a great authority. Now he turned aside to see, away from everything and everybody, to see why that bush didn't burn. And when God saw him turn aside, he called him. When God sees you turn aside, leave all the junk of the world behind and start seeking after God and turning aside to see him, then he's going to speak to you. Yes, he wants people that want to see him. Oh, I want to see him. So God is not in the big shows, the big presentations. Oh, I tell you what, they got the lights flashing and all. God's not in all that junk. He doesn't want a big show. You know why? He is already big. He doesn't need to be blown up. He is big. He's already big. And he reveals himself in simplicity. God will come to you in the most simplest way. We need to get into the secret place, alone with God. In Psalm verse 91, verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. You say, where's that, Brother Howard? Go and find it. There is a secret place for every one of you. You've got to find it. It's not in a room or in a cupboard, but it may be. It's not in the physical. It's getting alone with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To be abiding under the shadow. The presence of God is on your life because you're getting alone with God. You've got to kick the junk out. Forget the world. You know, brother and sister, this world is a horrible disease. It gets on you. You know, they say that if you sleep with dogs, you get fleas. If you mix with the world, you pick up a worldly spirit. And God won't be around you. He's not interested in that. You've got to draw aside and get alone with God. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. In our first reading, we read, Jesus separated his disciples away from the crowd. They climbed up into a very high mountain. It says so. And they went up there alone. We cannot mix in freely with the world and expect to see Jesus. He won't be there. Is everyone hearing okay? Free. Is everyone hearing okay? You cannot mix with the world and expect to see Jesus. He's not there. As did Moses. Also, he separated himself up into the mountain. Now, it doesn't have to be like a mountain. It doesn't have to be a mountain. But it does take a separation. You can't walk with the world. If you have you love the world or the things of the world, the Bible says the love of God is not even in you. Now, that's clear. And people wonder why they can't get through to God because they're full of junk. They're chasing after the world and getting so caught up with the humdrum of the world is around you all the time. I've said this many times, and I've been guilty. God knows my heart, and I watched it really big time these days. Your cell phone, this little thing in your pocket, can really take you away from God because you spend so much time on it. The Bible says redeem the time because the days are evil. You need to redeem the time. Make good use of the opportunity God's given you. But people get caught up on that and they call it surfing. Because they go to look at one thing, Lee. They go to look at fish, for instance. And then they go looking for, oh, there's some rods. Oh, there's some boats. And you go, it's called surfing. You go from one wave to the next. That's why it's called surfing. And you spend 2 hours about nothing. I want the Lord. Who wants the Lord? So it does take a separation. It's not just for ministers, but it's for the whole body of Christ to draw aside. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore come out from among them. Listen to this. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. You should not be going places you know that Jesus would not be comfortable in. People say, what's wrong with going there? We used to say the pictures. In the old days, it's more than pictures today. Going to the pictures. Would you take him there and watch that filth? Would you be comfortable to have Jesus standing next to you going to these places? I know you don't go to all these places. But going to dances and things. You know, if you can't take Jesus there, you shouldn't be there. So you've got to draw aside and separate yourself up into a mountain somewhere. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, he said. I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's when you separate. So brothers and sisters, people say, I want more of God. I want more of God. I just don't seem to be getting it. Where are you spending all your time? What are you always thinking about? That's a real good test. You say, do you love the Lord? Yeah, I love the Lord. But what do you really love is the time you spend on other things. You're always thinking about it. It's always there. You can't get your mind off it. So we see that this separation is so Jesus can reach, be seen amongst us. Now I want to read a wonderful quotation here. Abraham, as soon as God called him, he called him to separate himself. That's exactly what we've just been reading. That's a strange thing, isn't it? God, as soon as he calls a man, he calls for a complete separation. You know, the world wants mixers today. God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit calls for a total separation. Amen. He says, separation. He said to Abraham, separate yourself from your kindred, from his family. Separate yourself from them. He says, that's a big thing to do, wasn't it? I want you to sojourn in a strange land. You've never walked this way before. But I want you to separate yourself so you can walk with me among strange people speaking a strange language. And you'll be a pilgrim, a sojourner. And here it is. Every man that's born of Christ separates himself from sin immediately. Shall I read that again? Every man that's born of Christ separates himself from sin immediately. Now, it doesn't mean you don't sin anymore, because sometimes you do. You sin every day, probably. But God actually takes that. He wants you to get out of that stuff. The Holy Spirit just calls you right out. It's a different nature, he says. So when God calls his children to that secret place, then he shows himself. Now in the secret place, brother and sister, God can reveal himself. We said previously. He transfigured himself before them. My, what a privilege to see the Lord, face shining as the sun, and his raiment as bright as the light. The Bible says that. They had a preview of his coming glory. And you know what, Brother Lee? We're going to be in it. We're not just going to see a preview. We're going to be there, Brother Keith. Do you believe that? I believe it too. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, I just want to read you the scripture, Revelation 21:23 first. And the city had no need of the sun. Won't need the sun one day. I don't know what God's going to do with it, but we won't be needing it. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, that's the Lord Jesus, is the light thereof. Hallelujah. What a glorious thing that will be. He's the light thereof. So when Jesus reveals himself to you, there's nothing on earth like it. Don't even think about it. There was nothing. When he comes to you, it's going to be totally different to what you see around you. Nothing can compare with the glory of our Lord. It brings us a total satisfaction. When you meet the Lord, you're not chasing after everything else. You're just not interested. Leaves you cold. Total satisfaction to the hungry soul. Man is totally out of the picture. We're not coming to see man, we're coming to see Christ, even this morning. When God is transfigured before a man, all he sees is Jesus. Because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, we know that. When Isaiah the prophet went into the temple, he saw only the glory of God. Let's read this. Isaiah 6. Now Isaiah was a mighty prophet of God. Great ministry. Some say he was a major prophet. I don't know what a major prophet is or not. I think any prophet is pretty wonderful. But it says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, brother and sister, when God comes into your life, he fills every crevice and corner of your life. Amen. Not full of the world over here and a bit of God here. No, he fills every crevice and corner of your life. And he saw the temple filled, his train, what he was wearing, filled the temple. Must have been a wonderful vision. And above it stood a seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Hallelujah. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door, this is a pretty big building. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And the eyes of the prophet said, Hi, Lord, I'm here. Your servant, Lord, I'm here. Is that what he said? He was on the ground. He said, Whoa. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. Who? The prophet. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's what I want. Brother and sister, that's what we've got to come to. When we see him, there's no man involved. He didn't say, well, I'm living amongst the people that are really spiritual. He didn't say that. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We can have that same experience today. You say, where, Brother Howard? Get alone with God. Kick out the junk. It's filling your mind all the time. If we live right and hunger for God, He'll be pleased to dwell with you. Now, God will not tolerate carnality in His presence. He just cannot. It's just a terrible thing for carnality, carnal things, to be in the presence of God. And here we go. Peter in his human zeal. Now, Peter meant well, but it's just carnal. So suggesting giving equal honor to the prophets and to Jesus. Maybe he felt pretty inspired. People get inspired, but it's not God. He said, let us build 3 tabernacles, Lord. Really, they're just denominations. Whatever you want to call it. Whenever God moved in each age, men said, let's build on this move. You know, if you know your history, it's everywhere. Martin Luther, he brought a wonderful light. The just shall live by faith. Set the world free. Tremendous message for the world who are under great fear and bondage and darkness. But he said, the just shall live by faith. And hundreds of thousands of people were greatly set free by the message he brought. You know what those men said? Let's build on this move. They wanted to build on the move of Martin Luther. When it struck the earth, it was the glory of God, it was. Then men said, let us build 3 tabernacles. Let's build a tabernacle to Martin Luther. And out popped the Lutheran church. And God let it rot in its corruption and dogmas. Now the message was right. Martin Luther was sent, it was of God. But men organized it. And today it's as dead as a doornail. Because man organized it. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, we've got to be so careful. Then the glory of God shone through, right down through, say, John Wesley, the message of sanctification. And people were greatly blessed, and thousands came and heard him preach. I was standing on the bridge where he preached in the country, in England, and right on the turret of the bridge. He stood there and preached because they wouldn't let him in the church. And there were thousands on the banks of the river, and he preached to them. And he said, this is my tabernacle. The world was his chapel. And they said, well, let's do something with this. John Wesley has been used of God. We can see the mighty signs and many souls repenting by the thousands. This was of God. And man said, let's build a tabernacle. And up popped the Lutheran church, the Wesleyan church, or the Methodist church, whatever you want to call it. And you know, brothers and sisters, this age is no exception. It's always the same. Man has got this thing in him. God has shone down his glory in our age, has promised the word of God that Jesus Christ will be glorified in our day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who believes that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have seen the pillar of fire, just like in Moses' day, the cloud that led them by day and the pillar of fire by night. What did they do? They began to worship. I want you to listen to this. How man jumps on things and does the wrong thing. God sent snakes amongst the people. And they were all bitten with snake bites and were dying. Dying like flies. The snakes all through the place because of their sin. Moses cried out to God and he said, I want you to do something. Moses, I want you to build a brazen serpent. And I want to make you out of brass. And I want you to make it into the shape of a serpent on a pole. The serpent was around the pole. And I just want to say that that brass serpent, the brass represents divine judgment. The serpent represents sin. And that's exactly what happened at Calvary. Jesus on the pole, he was judged for sin, your sin, and my sin. And Moses was told, all they have to do, maybe there's 2 million people on the ground. Maybe that, and he just had to put the serpent on the pole, lift it up as high as he could. And maybe some could hardly even see it. They were so far away. But if they believed in their heart that what God had said, the minute they looked, my dad always used to say, he says, maybe they didn't feel even well enough. They couldn't stand up, so they turned over by faith where the pole was and looked, and they were healed. Now, brother and sister, that's what God has done for us. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Who believes him? Say amen.
Amen.
That's it. Now, what happened to these tabernacles? You know what they said? This is wonderful. Keep the pole. So they got the pole and they kept it. You know what they did, Brother Tom? They started to worship it. They worship the very thing God sent to them, just like he sent Martin Luther and John Wesley. And whatever God does, men get a hold of it and want to make a thing of it. And so they kept the pole, and because the people were healed in that time when God was using that as a symbol. And they worshiped the brazen pole. Read your Bible. You know what God said? I'm going to destroy it. And God destroyed the very thing that he used because men started to worship it. We've got to be careful that we don't start worshiping something God uses. Never worship a man of God. Doesn't matter who he is. Be reverent to God. We appreciate every ministry, every prophet, every whatever God sends us, we appreciate it. So God is not interested in, he will not share his glory with nobody. God will not share his glory with anybody. That's why he destroyed the pole of the serpent. My, what a lesson for us today. You know what? People have not changed today. They're still worshiping the wrong thing. Even though it might have been used of God. People want to build tabernacles to their teaching, to their great understanding. And God will not have anything to do with it. He just wants all the glory. He gave his life for you. And we should keep our focus totally on Jesus Christ alone. Now listen to this, back to our original story. While Peter was speaking, while Peter was standing up, the chosen apostle to be, he started speaking, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Lord, if you're happy with it, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for Elias, one for Moses, and one for you. One for you, and one for Elias, and one for Moses. And while he was speaking, God interrupted. He didn't even wait for him to finish. While he was speaking, a cloud came down and a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's who God wants to hear in our midst. He wants to hear the Lord Jesus. No preachers, nobody. Just him. Do you believe this? Say amen.
Amen.
So may God help us all. In Isaiah 42 verse 8 it says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God means business. Some like Peter want to build a tabernacle to their great ministry. And I'm not here to judge anybody, but much of that has gone on. Big ministries, big, everyone knows about them. I just want to know about the Lord. Truly. God can use people. Yes, he can. But I just want to know about Jesus. What an abomination. God said, "This is my son, who I'm well pleased." We should be looking at the message that's coming, not the messenger. People say, "Oh, Matt, like I said about that, who was the preacher?" We don't know. All we saw was Jesus in our midst. That's how it should be. We're not interested in who it was. There's only one we're interested in, and that is Christ. God will take it away from you. He'll share his glory with nobody. God will intervene again in this day. Get his people back on track. We've got to get back on track. Oh, I tell you, I've seen so much in the last 72 years, 71 years. But, you know, realistically, in the last 50 years, I have seen so much of it where people are chasing this and chasing that. But we need to get back on track. Now, I believe with all my heart Peter made a big mistake, but I do believe Peter was the Son of God. But he lost his vision of Jesus temporarily. You know, John the Baptist, he was the first Elijah for the coming of Christ, said, "I must decrease, he must increase." So what was the Elijah ministry to do? What was it meant to do? It was meant to introduce Jesus Christ to the people. John the Baptist was sent and say, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the one that's taken away the sin of the world." He introduced Jesus Christ in that age. And today, it has happened. People can be following a messenger instead of the Word of God. They say, "Oh, wow, that is the Word." Listen, the Word will produce Christ in our hearts. And this is a tragedy. Let's look again at John the Baptist just for a moment. In John 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, John's disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Listen what happens next. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They didn't go say, "Oh, let's start following John now." No, the ministry of John the Baptist introduced Christ, and they followed Christ. I think that's wonderful. That's what I want. Who wants that? We want to follow the Lord Jesus. That should be the end result of hearing the messenger that God has sent to you. You'll follow the Lord. We should be following Jesus, whom he introduced. And this is what Jesus said in John 12:32. "If I, Jesus, be lifted up from the earth," like that serpent on a pole, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You want to... We're lifting up Christ, he'll draw everybody unto himself, unto Christ, not unto men. I'm telling you, brother and sister, you may not know this fully, but this is a big problem in the world today. It's a man problem. Everywhere. Just in all manner of places. So we see Peter, he lost his vision of Jesus momentarily. When the voice of God thundered out, and they trembled and they were afraid, they fell on their faces. As the correction came, rightfully from God himself, to stay in line. The saints, we all need to refocus our eyes upon our beloved Lord Jesus. Sure, we appreciated Moses. Sure, we appreciate Elijah. Sure, we appreciate these brothers just the same. But after God brought the correction, after God brought a correction on that mountain, they saw no man, none, save Jesus only. Who wants the Lord Jesus only? We just want him. Now, God uses men. We appreciate men and servants and ministers and whatever God uses. Praise the Lord. But that's not our focus. They are God's servants. And it's Christ that we're following. I believe this with all my heart and with all my soul. It's a great experience. That's what it should produce. Not great knowledge or puffed upness. Oh, I understand the word now. That's not it. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you met him? We'll give the glory to Jesus. They saw no man save Jesus only. That's all they saw. They didn't see anybody else. They just saw him. He said, fear not. I'm so glad he's that way. I just want to follow him. I don't care who God uses. I just want to follow Christ. I appreciate who God uses. I love every one of them. When God sends a message to us, it's a message to us to get in line and follow the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Who wants Jesus only?
Amen.
Shall we stand to our feet, brothers and sisters? Amen. Let's ask the musicians to come. Grace, you want to come, or Peter, or somebody? Do you want to have it? Okay. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, that you have sent your word to us in this day. We're very grateful to it. And Lord, it will produce in us as we believe it and walk in the light of thy word, Christ only. Help us, Lord, to receive thee. You're always manifested through your word before you are the word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you will do. Lord, we just want Jesus only. They saw no man save Jesus only. Lord, may that be our experience. They didn't see the preacher. They don't see the pastor, Lord. They don't see the big group or the conventions. They want to see Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all, everyone here and those listening, to only keep Christ in the forefront. It's only him we want. Christ alone in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their vision of Jesus. Maybe Jesus standing there, all glorified, Moses, Elias. Maybe Peter thought to himself, oh, I feel inspired. I feel really inspired. Lord, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. God wouldn't have a bar of it. He said, this is my son. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. It's Christ we want to hear. However he brings it, through whatever servant he's bringing, we just want to seek Jesus. Don't lose your vision. Brother Lee.
Anybody's wondering overseas or something like that, and it rings a bell in your heart that there's something there that keeps telling me to concentrate on Jesus. That is Jesus calling you. You may not hear words as I'm speaking like this, but you might. But the thing is, if it's in your heart and you have that, I must do something about it. Do something about it between yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ, and be faithful about it and continue to walk his way. I wonder if my sister June has got a tune which we can sing now, one that you are selecting. I wasn't expecting to come up at this time, but then we'll close and just thank the Lord for the luncheon we're about to have, and to bless their fellowship over there. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Is it true? Sing it there.
Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus.
We've heard, we know it's the truth because you said it, Lord. We believe it, and we want to see it carry on through of all our lives. We pray for those that are listening in, and their time of listening, bless them. May they be touched, because they can feel it right there, right now, hitting their heart. Lord Jesus, bless the luncheon we have. Thank you for providing it. Thank you for the fellowship we'll have one with the other. And we ask, Lord, that you be with us at 1 o'clock at the service this afternoon. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. As we sing this once more, you are dismissed.
Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch you, to say that.
May the Lord bless you.